Hi, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I'm Tom.
Howdy. I'm Stephanie.
And today we're talking about plants, okay?
Ooh.
Now, if you live in Taipei here, you can go down to the Jianguo Weekend Market.
Oh, I'm right there. That's kind of in my neighborhood.
Yeah, it's the flower market,
the flower and jade market.
Exactly. I guess it's divided into two areas. I haven't been there in many years.
It starts at Xini. So Xini, you can walk in. That's the entrance.
Okay, and that's the main entrance there.
Yeah.
So to the south of Xini, I guess there's where all the jade stuff is. And then to the north of Xini Lu, Xini Road.
Plants.
That's where they sell the plants.
Flowers.
And if you walk in there, of course, you hear lots of people chattering and stuff like that. But you may not know it, but it's not just the people who are chatting. Those plants are actually talking to each other, too. My goodness, I hope somebody buys me. I hope I can go to a nice home. Oh, I don't want to go to that guy's house there. He hasn't taken a shower in several days.
Ooh.
It's going to be a stinky house. I don't want to live there. Yeah, that's what these plants are talking about before these people come and buy them.
You just made that up.
Well, sort of.
Yeah.
But we are talking about the idea that plants might actually be communicating with each other.
Mm.
Is that possible? Do you believe that's possible?
Why not? You know, animals communicate. Why not plants? I love plants. So we're going to find out a little bit more about this because somebody has done some research and they found out some more information for those of us who know nothing about plants talking to each other. As we always do, guys, we're going to first read through the article and then we'll be back.
With their brightly colored leaves and flowers, plants seem like nothing more than ornamental living forms. Compared to humans and animals, they're much less active and mobile. However, does that mean these brainless organisms are incapable of communication? Two studies published in 1983 found evidence that plant communication is possible. Researchers discovered that willow trees, poplars, and sugar maples were able to warn each other about insect attacks. Undamaged trees near trees harmed by bugs were able to defend themselves by producing bug-repelling chemicals. Although the results were promising, these studies were criticized for their lack of clear evidence, and further research into plant communication ceased. In recent years, though, researchers have revisited the science of plant communication with carefully controlled experiments. Studies have established that when plants are under attack by bugs or humans, they send chemicals through the air to warn neighboring plants. The plants nearby pick up on those warning signals and adjust their internal chemistry to become more resistant to insects. This is what happened when researchers deliberately damaged the leaves of a sagebrush plant in the wild. At the end of the summer, they observed that the leaves from other branches on the same sagebrush plant and neighboring bushes had less bug damage. A plant's chemical signals can also travel below the soil. Plants rely on fungi to help them absorb water and nutrients. These organisms are attached to the roots of plants, forming an underground network that transmits chemical messages. Researchers discovered that when a tomato plant is affected by disease, it signals its immune system to activate and tells neighboring plants to do the same. These studies might have big implications in agriculture. One thing is clear, never again can we underestimate the communicative abilities of plants.
Shh! Did that plant just say something? You know, I've never heard plants talk before. Now I know they're communicating. I remember the first time I heard that dolphins talk to each other. I thought that was pretty cool. These are plants, though, and we're describing them here in the first sentence. They have got brightly colored leaves and flowers, and plants seem like nothing more than ornamental living forms. If something's ornamental, guys, it means it's there to decorate. Maybe it's, I don't know, maybe you have an ornamental chair. So it's not just soft to sit in, but it's pretty. It makes the place look attractive. I love plants. My apartment is filled with plants. You know, when I bought them at the Jianguo Flower Market, they were saying, you know, how I needed to take take care of them outside. And I said, oh, no, 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 no. They're going inside my apartment. If you walk in, it kind of looks like a jungle. I love green. So I've never heard my plants talk to each other, but I will be listening from now on.
Okay, but again, it's kind of weird because plants don't actually have mouths and they don't actually have ears. So how the heck can they communicate with each other? Well, the first paragraph here says, with their brightly colored leaves and flowers, plants seem like nothing more than ornamental living forms. So, yes, they have colored leaves. Their leaves are usually green, but they can be other colors as well. Is it the poinsettia or whatever, the Christmas plant that has red leaves? So that's a very brightly colored leaf. And so they've also got flowers. Plants have flowers as well. So if you have these plants, then to you they might seem like, well, they're really pretty. They are ornamental living forms. As plants are living, there's no doubt about that. Mm-hmm. And they are ornamental, which means they're there for decoration, which could be true. I think people have plants in their houses because they help produce oxygen and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
There are other reasons to have plants, but a lot of times people do use the plants simply for decoration, just because they look good. They are ornamental.
Well, compared to humans and animals, plants are really much less active and mobile. Yeah, plants don't usually walk around or move around. Although there is that one plant that was in a musical. I can't remember the musical name. But anyway, it eats flies. It's a fly catcher, you know. That one moves a little bit. So if you're active, it means you're moving or tending to move around. If you talk about kids that are active, it's usually little kids that run around a lot and they tire everybody out. So, yeah, you might be very active. Mobile, again, means you're moving. Our mobile phones are mobile because they move around with us. We used to have phones that would just stuck into the wall, even if that cord, and you couldn't move them anywhere. But we have mobile phones now, or as they say in England, Great Britain, mobile.
Mm-hmm.
They like to say mobile. However, does that mean these brainless organisms are incapable of communication? You know, communication, it goes far beyond just speaking and listening. We can communicate with the way we move our bodies, right?
Yeah.
If you wink your eye, you're, you know, giving some sort of message like, hey, you're pretty cute. Mm. Or if we smile, that's a different type of communication. An organism is something that is alive. It could be a person or a plant or an animal. And if you're incapable of something, it means you can't do something. So, of course, we want to be capable of doing lots of things.
That's right. So we're asking this question, are they incapable of communication? Do they need to communication? Do they need to communicate? Is it necessary for them to talk to each other or to talk to birds or insects that are landing on them or whatever? That's a good question, and some people think it's an important question to try to answer. Well, in the next paragraph here, it says, two studies published in 1983 found evidence that plant communication is possible. So this happened way back in 1983. These studies were published in 1983. A study is when somebody does a bunch of research and they do some observations and they talk to people and they write a paper and come to some conclusions. So that's a study. And they were published in 1983. Of course, when something is published, that means it's printed into some kind of cell form, and it's available for purchase, or at least they are put in libraries for professors and people like that to get them and read them and use them for their own research.
Yeah, so they found evidence or proof that plant communication is possible. Now, researchers discovered that different types of trees, like willow trees, I love the willow, that's my favorite tree, poplars and sugar maples, were able to warn each other about bug attacks or insect attacks. One of the things that can kill a tree are bug attacks or insects that, attack it and then, you know, do little things that kills the tree. So I don't know what these trees are in Chinese. You can look them up. Do you know any of these? Willow? What's a willow tree in Chinese?
I know liuoshu is willow tree, but I don't know how to say poplar or sugar maple. I know maple is
Arce in Espanol, but what's maple in Chinese? Feng shu, maple tree.
Yeah, but the sugar maple is the one that is popular in Canada where we get our maple syrup from.
Yummy, yummy.
That we put on pancakes, you know? That's good stuff.
Good stuff from Canada. These trees
are great. They can actually warn each other when there is an insect attack, which is kind of fun.
Exactly. So if box elder bugs are going to attack a tree, they can warn the other trees, watch out, these bugs are coming, they're going to eat you and try to kill you. Supposedly, this was the result of some studies that were published way back in 1983. And let's go on and find out some more details about this. It says, undamaged trees near trees harmed by bugs were able to defend themselves by producing bug-repelling chemicals. So, okay, one tree was damaged, it was attacked by bugs, and then the trees nearby somehow found out about that, and so they defended themselves by producing some chemicals which repelled the bugs. They were bug-repelling chemicals. A chemical is just some kind of substance. Chemistry, of course, is the foundation of all matter, basically. If you look at the periodic table of the elements, that's has to do with chemistry. And bug repelling means it keeps the bugs away. You might put some bug repellent on your arms and legs before you go hiking, for example, so you don't get bit by bugs and insects and stuff like that. So, yeah, that's the main point there. One tree was being attacked by these bugs, so supposedly they warned the others, watch out, I'm getting attacked by these bugs. It's too late for me, you know, the bugs are going to get me, but you guys, it's not too late for you can start to protect yourselves by producing those bug-repelling chemicals.
Yeah, for some reason, mosquitoes love my face, and they bite me all the time, so I put bug repellent on my face at night. Sometimes it works. Sometimes I rub it off on my pillow, but hey, I try. So those are bug-repelling chemicals these trees are able to produce, which is amazing. Although the results were promising, these studies were criticized for their lack of clear evidence. So they didn't have enough proof or evidence of what they were saying. And further research into plant communication ceased. If something ceases, it stops. There's a phrase in legal language. My dad's an attorney, and there's an order called cease and desist. You must cease and desist or stop doing something. My dad would always tell us that when we were kids. Cease and desist, which is a joke. Okay, now, if something's promising, it looks like it's going to be positive. Maybe it's going to work. When they test new drugs at drug companies, pharmaceutical companies, they'll often say, oh, it looks promising. It means, oh, it looks like this could actually work if we keep testing it. But the results were promising, but they didn't have any proof, and you need evidence if you're a scientist. So that's when all of this research into plant communication stopped or ceased.
Okay, so we'll find out some more about this interesting subject in just a couple of seconds. We're going to take a break right now, but please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Hello, everyone. My name is Tina. 我们今天来看到第一个空格的句子写着 Compared to humans and animals, they are much less active and blank one. 如果跟人类跟动物相比的话，这个植物比较起来是比较不活跃，而且没有办法怎么样的呢？我们因为是 and 对等连接词，在语义上要连接两个呢，相对等的形容词，植物相较于人类跟动物比较不活跃，也比较没有办法行动自如。所以第一题我们搭配文意选 F 选项 mobile， 也就是有行动自如的意思。第二个空格这里提到呢 Two studies published in 1983 found evidence that plant communication is blank too. 那么根据后面的文章提到呢，植物跟植物能够互相警告有昆虫来袭，以这样的文意来看，就可以知道1983年发表的两项研究发现了植物的互相沟通的证据，证明这样的事情是怎么样的。第二题搭配文意可以选择 I 选项 possible， 植物的沟通是有可能的。 接着来看到第三个空格 Undamaged trees near trees harmed by bugs were able to blank three themselves 这里的证据显示呢遭受虫害树木附近的这些未受损的树木呢可以借由呢产生防虫化学物质做到怎么样他们自己因为介于植物跟植物的沟通、产生防虫的化学物质就可以来保护防御自我了所以搭配文意在 to 后面放动词 D 选项的 defend 也就是有防御的意思第四个空格 Although the results were promising these studies were blank for their lack of clear evidence 虽然呢这样子的研究的结果是有很前瞻性但是这些研究呢却因为缺乏了比较明确的证据而怎么样呢那么后面有提到最后呢这样子的研究也随之终止正因为缺乏实际的证据所以饱受批评搭配文意第四题可以选择 J 选项的 criticized
We're going to take a quick break Stay tuned, we'll be right back Welcome back, guys. We're talking about research into plant communication, which is kind of crazy, but there we are. There have been some scientists who have studied this. In fact, two studies were published, which means you can get your hands on them because they're public, in 1983. And they found that plants actually can communicate with each other. There were some trees that warned other trees about some bugs that were going to come and attack them. And they did this by producing some bug-repelling chemicals. So it was kind of cool, but people reading the research weren't convinced that the evidence or proof was strong enough. So at that point, plant communication research stopped or ceased.
Yeah, they couldn't prove it. Was one tree actually sending signals through the air to warn the other trees? And were these conscious signals or were they just chemical signals or something that the other trees just simply reacted to? There are probably a lot of theories about that. But In recent years, though, researchers have revisited the science of plant communication with carefully controlled experiments. So for whatever reason, scientists have decided to reinvestigate this area of research. They're revisiting this science of plant communication. If you revisit something, that means you visit that thing again. In this particular case, they're doing some research again. They think, well, yeah, maybe they were on to something back in 1983. It sounded silly then, but maybe nowadays we can actually improve on their research and actually have some more believable findings.
That often happens. Technology improves and they go back and revisit something that they had kind of given up on.
Absolutely.
So studies have established that when plants are under attack by bugs or even humans like us, they send chemicals through the air to warn neighboring plants. So...If you establish something, it means it's something that you're able to prove. You get people to believe it. So they've seen these trees actually send these chemicals through the air. And this is how they communicate or warn neighboring plants. Neighboring plants are the plants that they're close to them.They're their neighbors, right?
Yeah. Exactly. And the plants nearby pick up on those warning signals and adjust their internal chemistry to become more resistant to insects. So here we have the phrase to pick up on something. That means you understand the signals. And oftentimes we use this phrase when we talk about communication that is not so clear.
Yeah.
It might be kind of subtle. I'm not picking up on his signals there. I don't know what he means when he's winking his eyes like that. Am I talking about something?
Is he flirting with me? You know, what is he trying to do?
Yeah, to pick up on something or to understand something. something that is difficult to understand, especially in communication. And these are warning signals. A signal, of course, is just some kind of communication, some attempt at communication. A signal could be a broadcast signal, for example. When somebody broadcasts on radio or television, they send out signals. In this particular case, maybe they're sending signals to the other trees nearby to warn them and then also telling them, hey, you better adjust your internal chemistry so that you can repel those insects. This is their internal chemistry, the chemistry inside those trees. So the first tree is saying, hey, change your chemistry so that you don't smell as good, you know, so maybe the bugs will leave you alone.
Yeah, if you smell too good, the bugs will attack you. Signals can also be gestures, movements by someone's body, their hands or feet, their head. It could be a sound. It could be a light signal. Right? That we use to know when we can drive and when we have to stop. So they use these. Oh, I also wanted to mention, you can pick up on something. If someone teaches you how to play baseball or maybe roller skate or play some new sport and you pick up on it quickly, you're probably kind of coordinated and athletic, but you can pick up on things like that as well. So that's what happened when these researchers deliberately or on purpose damaged the leaves of a sagebrush plant in the wild. So it was a particular, we have sagebrush in Arizona because I grew up in the desert and they have a lot of sagebrush there.
Is that like a tumbleweed or something?
No, but it's a very dry plant. A sage is a nice a smell, actually.
Okay.
So they went out to this area and they wrecked or ruined some leaves in the wild. And at the end of the summer, they observed that the leaves from other branches on the same sagebrush plant and neighboring bushes had less bug damage. Oh, interesting. So the ones that they had ruined deliberately wasn't what they observed. They look around at the leaves on that plant that they hadn't hurt or the leaves of sagebrush plants that were nearby, and they didn't have the bug damage.
Right. So basically what happened is they think that they damaged the leaves of the sagebrush plant and that plant sent out warnings. Hey, I'm being attacked here, so watch out, protect yourselves. So they must have changed their internal chemistry and then the bugs left them alone. So they don't. I wouldn't call that direct evidence myself. But
yeah, Tom, I was thinking the exact same thought. I was thinking, yeah, that's pretty weak evidence.
It might be just a coincidence. We don't know. But in any case, the research is continuing.
Okay.
And a plant's chemical signals can also travel below the soil, which means underground. Soil just means the dirt where plants live. Basically, we use the word soil when we talk about agriculture. We need to fertilize the soil, for example, to grow some corn.
But if you're playing as a little kid, you wouldn't say, I'm going to go play in the soil.
No,
you say, I'm going to go play in the dirt. Or, you know, Joey was playing in the dirt and he's all dirty. You don't say Joey was playing in the soil. So soil is, as Tom said, used more when you're talking about crops and raising food. Dirt, when you're playing, or you're digging a hole, you're digging dirt. Plants rely on fungi to help them absorb or suck in water and nutrients. If you absorb something, you take it in. If you're washing dishes, sometimes you have a rag or sponge that will absorb water, soak it in, take it in. Or maybe you're studying at school and you're absorbing a lot of knowledge. We use it that way too. Well, the fungi are helping the plants take in water and nutrients like vitamins that help the plants.
Or minerals and stuff like that. And these organisms are attached to the roots of plants and that forms an underground network that transmits chemical messages. Attached means they're in contact with each other. They're stuck on each other.
Yep.
So they can send messages through this network underground transmitting chemical messages. And researchers discovered that when a tomato plant is affected by disease, it signals its immune system to activate and tells neighboring plants to do the same.
Cool.
So the immune system is basically what protects you from disease.
Yeah.
And it can send those messages to other tomato plants.
Very interesting. So in the last paragraph here, it says these studies might have big implications in agriculture. It might mean a lot, have a lot of influence if you're talking about agriculture or growing food and crops. One thing's clear, though, never again can we underestimate the communicative abilities of plants. Communicative, not easy to say. If you underestimate someone or something, you don't think of them as highly as you should. Maybe you don't respect the talents or qualities that they have. Don't underestimate them, though.
Never underestimate the power of the force.
Right.
Okay, that brings us to the end of our lesson for today. Here comes our Chinese teacher.
不过近来我们又重新检视了植物互相沟通的科学。在这里第五个空格的句子提到 The plants nearby pick upon those warning signals and blank five their internal chemistry to become more resistant to insects. 在这里提到呢，在这个比较附近的这些植物呢，会接收这样子的警告的讯息，一接受到讯息就可以怎么样呢？可以调整它们内部的化学物质来成为对抗这些呢昆虫的机制。所以搭配文意第五题用 and 连接两个动词片语接收讯息调整它内部的化学物质选择 C 选项 adjust 第六个空格我们直接看到后半句他们观察到什么呢 The leaves from other branches on the same sagebrush plant and neighboring bushes had blank six bug damage 他们接收到呢就是呢同一株山艾树的其他树枝上以及邻近灌木丛的树叶 leaves 都出现怎么样的虫害根据前面的文意呢他们会有调整化学机制变得对昆虫更有抵抗力也因此呢就比较少的遭受到虫害的侵袭所以搭配文意第六题可以选择 G 选项 less 有比较少的意思第七个空格 A plant's chemical signals can also blank seven below the soil其实呢，这些植物的化学信号在土壤底下也可以怎么样？在这里放在 can 后面需要一个原形动词，后面有提到他们会彼此传送这些化学信号，所以第七题可以选择 A travel， 也就是有传送的意思。透过这些真菌就可以传送这些讯号。在第八格空格前面提到呢，这些真菌呢，它是依附在这个植物的根部。逗号后面提到 ,forming an underground network that transmits chemical blank eight.那么透过这样子的地底的形成的网络呢就可以来传送什么样化学的东西呢在这里搭配前后文意传送的就是这些警告的讯号让他们好赶快的来调整内部的机制所以第八题搭配文意可以选择 B 选项的 messages 第九个空格 researchers discovered that when a tomato plant is blank nine by disease 这些研究人员发现呢当这个番茄的植株呢遭受到病害的怎么样好那么它会向自己的免疫系统发出信号就可以启动它的这个防御的机制我们提到呢被这些疾病所影响的时候就会有启动讯号的机制所以第九题搭配文意可以选择一选项的 affected 最后一个空格我们看到后半句 Never again can we underestimate the communicative blank 10 of plants 看到了以上的东西我们就知道再也不能低估呢这个植物有彼此沟通的什么好，搭配文意第十题可以选择 H 选项的 abilities 植物跟植物是可以彼此沟通的能力的 OK 以上就是今天的课文讲解谢谢收听
Thanks for joining us, guys. What an interesting article on research and plants communicating with each other. I'm going to look forward to seeing more evidence or more proof.
Me too.
Yeah, for now, though, we got to sign off, guys. And we're going to be really direct in our communication by saying goodbye. And we hope you join us again soon. I'm Stephanie.
I'm Tom. Goodbye.
Later.